Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Patty Vargas. I am your host this morning for Resilient Women, Agents of Change. And our topic today is the missing link to success in your passion-driven business. Our leading lady today is Stephanie Stadel with The Right Brain Entrepreneur. Stephanie is a licensed art therapist and business coach who helps individuals and companies bring their visions alive by using an underused resource called Right Brain Thinking. She's been widely recognized for her unique methodology and featured as an expert on NBC, TEDx, and South by Southwest, and has shared the stage with Richard Branson, one of my personal favorites, at the Varietas Vision Conference. Stephanie has worked with executives of Google, Morgan Stanley, and American Express, and many others. Now, I've had the personal privilege of seeing Stephanie speak on a number of occasions, so believe me, we are in for a treat this morning. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Patty. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I know that the audience is going to be really interested in this topic. Don't anybody be afraid. Stephanie makes this very approachable and understandable and a lot of fun. So we're going to just, you know, kick this off with, I'm going to ask you a few questions, Stephanie, and you feel free to take this where you like.
Okay, sounds great.
So one thing I'd like to know is, what is right brain thinking, and why do you think it's so important in business?
Yeah, great question. So right brain thinking, I have to give a tiny bit of a science lesson to explain. We've known our brain is divided into two hemispheres for a very long time. But in the 1970s, Roger Sperry won a Nobel Prize for what's called his split brain studies. And he realized that each hemisphere is responsible for a different kind of process. And the left brain is our verbal center. It takes in information through words and numbers, and it's very analytic and also very formulaic. So it's very detail-oriented and sees things in a linear way. And then the right brain doesn't take in information whatsoever through words or numbers. It only sees through images and symbols and color. And it is our creative center. It's also our intuitive center. So, you know, if you ever have a gut feeling, that's your right brain kicking in. And it sees things from a bigger picture, a bird's eye view, so to speak. And that way it can see multiple solutions to a challenge or a problem. And so right brain thinking is tapping into that right brain process. And we're always using both sides of our brain. However, because of how our education system and a lot of Western, especially Western culture, the value system, for example, and societal systems that we grow up in, we are often trained to rely more heavily on a left brain process. And that's why with business, when you can tap into your right brain process more, essentially you're tapping into more of your brain's potential. And also creativity is one of the most important factors to your success. So the more creative, the more resourceful you can be in your business, the better results and the more productive you're going to be.
That is really fascinating. Can you say a little bit more about the way that we are educated, that we are sort of set up to not think this way? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, yeah. And I always like to preface this by saying that I don't want anyone to think that, you know, education's bad or wrong, and I believe it's limited. Because it was started in the Industrial Revolution, and it really hasn't changed much since. So in the Industrial Revolution, we went to school to learn a particular skill to have a particular trade or job right after that. Well, the Industrial Revolution required math, science, languages, and those are all very left brain dominant. And because it hasn't changed much since, the education curriculum, the things that count most for your grades, for example, are the math, sciences, languages, and extracurricular. For anyone who's listening that's a parent, well, this is no surprise, extracurriculars, you know, the arts, music, even physical education, that those are the first thing to go when budgets are cut. And then there's also a very formulaic way that we're taught in traditional school systems. So, you know, we're kind of all in a row and there's only one right answer and there's not a lot of collaboration. That's called cheating. And so there's this value system that happens in our education system that essentially kills off creativity. And for listeners, if you're interested in learning a little bit more about this, Sir Ken Robinson has a great talk about this. It's called Changing Education Paradigms. And if you just Google that in, you'll find a really great animated video in which he goes into further research around this. And one thing that he talks about is a really amazing study where they were looking for a child's capacity for creative genius. And they started at kindergarten age. And 98% of kindergartners, they were tested at creative genius levels. And what that tells us is we're all born with an innate creative genius inside of us. And what they noticed as they studied these children as they got older and went through school, that capacity started to decrease, which means that it was trained out of them so that they no longer access that part of their brain. And so what I do with my clients is I help them access that part again. It never went away. It was just like a muscle that we stopped taking to the gym.
Wow, that is fascinating. And especially when you think about our workforce today is referred to as knowledge workers, right? You know, they're not, mm-hmm. we're not putting widgets in, you know, in sprockets or whatever. It's a different kind of work that really requires that creativity. So it almost seems as if we come to the workplace at a deficit and have to begin to learn those things that we need to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the Harvard Review recently said that the MBA, let me make sure I don't get this wrong, the MFA, the Master of Fine Arts, is the new MBA. So they are starting to see that creativity is extremely important. And there was a survey of CEOs worldwide where they said that creativity was one of the number one traits and characteristics that would help leaders in this world navigate, you know, the ever-changing economy. So whether or not you're in business or even a professional that works for a company, when you tap into your right brain, you know, you're going to be, you know, it's kind of competitive advantage in terms of your
right. It's
a really valuable asset.
So what led you to study this? I mean, did you come to a point in your career where the light bulb just went off and you said, something's missing here, or how did you get into this?
Yeah. I think my journey is very similar to a lot of other individuals who eventually discover their deeper calling, which was there was a few different light bulbs, and it was like a breadcrumb trail, like just kind of finally got me to the end point, and maybe there's more for me as that my future holds as well. I was always a creative little kid. I've been playing piano since I was four. I drew on my mom's walls, much to her dismay, and it was always very much my love. But I also really loved science. I'm probably aging myself, but I really loved my rock tumbler when I was a kid, and I would collect rocks. And so those two things were always really fascinating to me. And so in college, I studied psychology, and I had in my mind, I'll be able to mix creativity and my love of science by going and working for an advertising or marketing company, which, you know, once I got into that company, I realized I would be sitting in a cubicle for most of the day and not really using my creativity at all. So that's when I started to do some more soul searching. And I landed on art therapy, which is a fairly new study of the brain and psychology. Probably started in the 1960s, 1970s. And it's using art and the creative thinking in therapy. So it's not just about traditional talk therapy. And I found this really fascinating, so I decided to go back to school. I got my master's in that. I was a licensed art therapist and still am. I just use it in a different context. I worked in social work for several years, and that's when the next light bulb went off, where I said, you know, something's still missing. For me personally, I felt that I was limited in my capacity to really make a difference. And I wanted to share the amazing results that my clients would get by using their right brain to heal, to overcome challenges. I wanted to share that with the masses. So that's when I created my business, The Right Brain Entrepreneur. I personally believe that if I can empower businesses and CEOs to tap into their inner creativity and to do that to make a difference. So I work with passion-driven entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs, anyone that wants to make some sort of social impact. I feel that if I can work with those people to be more effective, then that's my small part in changing the world. And then I also believe that if I can educate adults on the importance of creativity, then perhaps our education system will start to follow that as well, and we'll start to really nourish and nurture our children and their uniqueness and their ability to be creative.
That is fascinating. So you mentioned about the art therapy, and how do you use that with a client? Is there a process that you go through, or?
Yeah, so I do a couple different things, and anyone working with me, they don't need to be an artist. You know, sometimes people get a little afraid that, oh, I'm going to make them draw, and they might not think they have that kind of artistic talent. And so everything is really accessible. You know, just I use a lot of visual thinking, so brainstorming out on paper, using a lot of color, writing, because journaling and writing, that's a very creative process. So I try to get my clients out of their head as much as possible and start to really see things outside of them. And when they can do that, that taps into their creativity. Every single one of my clients starts off by making a vision board. And vision boards have, you know, sometimes gotten a little bit of a bad rap in that, you know, they're in the secret and there's a lot of woo-woo around it. And yet there's a ton of science behind why they work so well. It's essentially an eternal motivator, physical reminder of what you want and what you create. It gives you access to your deeper self and truth. You know, you'll see things come out of your vision board that are telling you things about yourself that maybe you had forgotten about or, you know, are important for you to use in your bigger why of your business. And the other thing I do is I just help people to tap into their more intuitive and emotive center. So trying to exercise that resourceful, creative part of themselves, to trust themselves more, but also to be able to see multiple solutions to a problem, because I truly believe that it's never about a lack of resources. It's only about a lack of resourcefulness. And so there's a lot of mindset and creative thinking, and then there is the actual, you know, creative process. And depending on each client, I might offer some different assignments that I think would really help them the most.
I think that's what I really like about your approach, Stephanie, is that it's not all woo-woo, you know, that there is a hard science underneath this. And that appeals to my sense of, I don't know, order, you know, and process, because I am very much a linear thinker and need to be kicked out of that, you know, on a regular daily basis. I wanted to ask you if we can just go back for a second to thinking about this in terms of entrepreneurs. And what would you say is the biggest mistake that a new entrepreneur makes?
I would say the biggest thing that I see that most new entrepreneurs make is they get really caught up in the details, in that left brain analysis. They really want to plan and have everything right before they take action. And I truly believe, and part of creativity is learning through doing. through testing. And there's lots of ways that you can make mistakes without losing your savings. So for example, a big fear is, oh my gosh, you know, if I take action on my business, then I'm going to lose all my money. No, there's lots of ways that you can start to test out a business idea in a way that's very limited financial risk, if any at all. So the one I'm going to add a bonus mistake too, but the first mistake is that there's a lot of overthinking, overanalysis, and not enough doing. There's never right time. People are always waiting to be ready, and you're ready when you choose to. You're ready when you say you are. There's never, just kind of like I've heard this from parents, like there's no right time to have a kid. It's kind of, you're birthing a kid through a business. So it's very similar. And then, you know, I have to add one other mistake that I see is that people will often go with a business idea that they think is, again, the safest, meaning, oh, I think this one's going to make me the most money and I'll be most financially secure with this one, or this seems to be a good idea, instead of the one that is truly their calling, the one that is their absolute passion that they love. And it's a mistake because a business is not for the faint of heart. And I'm a straight shooter in that way. It's not going to be easy. And it's also the most fulfilling thing, I believe, in the world, to have that capacity to make up your own schedule and have that freedom. But it's not, you know, I'm not here to say, oh, you just press an easy button. And so because there are going to be challenges, you need something that is closely connected to your heart, a bigger commitment, a bigger why, and a bigger vision that's going to pull you through those difficult times, that's going to motivate you on those days and when you just want to give up. If money is your only motivator, it's just never going to be enough to pull you through. And even if it were, at some point you're going to, I've also worked with entrepreneurs who come to me saying, you know, I made all this money and I'm still not happy and fulfilled. And, you know, I wonder what it would be like if they had done that good soul searching about what their deeper purpose and calling is first, to then build that business around that, because now they're kind of, you know, doing it a second time around. So I would say those are the two things, is, you know, getting very clear on your why. Some may call it your purpose, your calling. My fiance, Brandon, we were just talking about this, is a purpose guide. So we often work together. If I feel that someone needs more clarity on that, he'll work with them and then they'll come back and work with me on their business. And then, you know, learning through doing, just taking that first step, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
I've never understood that analogy, because who wants to eat an elephant, right?
Right.
Well, that is really interesting, because, you know, the thought of somebody already being quite a bit down the road in their business, a lot of times we think, well, I've already gone this far, I can't turn back now. And just realizing that you can say, hey, stop, push that pause button, let's reevaluate what we're doing. I'm making money, but I'm not happy. So how do I change the narrative around this and really find out what my, I like how you say, what's your why? What are some of the ways that you help people figure out their why outside of using Brandon's techniques and so forth? But how do you work with somebody to figure out what their why is?
Right. Yeah. So if someone has a general idea, then I can help them tweak that out and discover their why. And I use a couple different written exercises. I have them, you know, start to interview people in their lives to find out more about themselves.
Wow.
So, you know, we are our own worst critic, and it's like a fish in water. You know, we'll say, well, what water? So we need an outside observer to really show us what our strengths are, what our deepest values are. And so that's one aspect of it. I have them really look at what are the things that they see in the world that really break their heart. What are the things that have always been important to them from a very young age? I mean, we always have that truth with us from a very young age, and then we build up walls around it. You know, someone says, oh, you can't do that, or you see someone else fail at it, And so you create a story in your young mind that, oh, I can't do that thing that I love or that's really important to me. So rediscovering that bigger truth, and then using a vision board. A vision board will, it's kind of literally in your face. When you create a vision board, there's images that you subconsciously will choose that will point to what's really important to you. I had a client do a vision board, and she really saw that what was missing as a part of her business was a connection to art. She's also an artist, and she wanted to do healing work, but she realized that she couldn't neglect that artistic part of herself. So we looked at how can we integrate her inner artist into her healing work, because that's what her vision board showed her just very clearly. So those are a few of the tools that I use if someone needs to get clearer on their why.
You said, and I remember this from one of the times I heard you speak, you said, what are the things that break your heart? And and I remember when I heard you speaking that I had written that down, because to me that was a very, that, I mean, that just drilled right down into how would you define, you know, what your purpose was. And what was interesting, I remember you also saying that the things that broke your heart when you were younger are probably still the things that break your heart today. And but you buried it up with your life and being busy and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, and I remember as a young person, the things that broke my heart were poverty, injustice, those kinds of things. And, you know, fast forward to today, and they're still the things that break my heart. And then how do you incorporate that into the work that you do? How do you, you know, how do you bring that full circle so that you're really fulfilling your passion and your purpose in life?
So it depends on each individual. You know, for someone whose heartbreak is poverty, it doesn't necessarily mean that they build a career, you know, working at a homeless shelter. It doesn't have to be a direct match. I have a client that launched a sustainable fashion company that funds artisans that all over the world. So she wants to create a brand of clothing that everyone can enjoy, that will give a living wage to people in other countries and help be a part of ending poverty. So that was a way that we brought her heartbreak into a business that also utilized her strengths, utilized her values and the things that she's interested in. And, you know, we also have to always test out the idea. We have to do a certain kind of market research to make sure that this is an idea that will connect with people. There's a few different aspects that we look at, and that comes back to my original, what I said originally about testing, like starting to take action instead of just analyzing. That's another important aspect of it. So, you know, we come up with a first draft, test that out. Sometimes we completely scrap the first draft, but it's only within, you know, a couple of months. It's not something that we're working on for a long time. And most of the time, that first draft, we just tweak. Rarely do we have to completely, you know, get rid of it. It's just, okay, let's start with this one idea. We start to put it out into the market. We start to see how people react to it. And then we go from there.
That is outstanding. That's really, really, really awesome. And, yeah, the idea that it's not a direct match, it's your way of contributing to resolving some of that. I think that's beautiful. So, Stephanie, before we get too much further down the road with this, how can people reach you? I know people are going to want to reach out to you after hearing this show. What are the best ways or the multiple ways that folks can reach you?
Yeah, there's a few different ways. So you can always find me, and I have a lot of different resources so you can learn more about how to apply this to your life and business on my website. It's therightbrainentrepreneur.com. When I bought that URL, I didn't take into consideration that entrepreneur is a very hard word to spell. So you can also find me at trbe.org. So So it's just the first letters of the rightbrainentrepreneur.org. And that will give you access to some blogs and articles that I've written, some free trainings. I also have coaching programs you can always inquire about. And the other thing I wanted to offer to listeners is a free gift. You can go to the rightbrainacademy.com/free gift. And I have an ebook there that you can download about the 5 steps to mastering your mind. And also I offer a complimentary session, it's called a business breakthrough session, that is a 90-minute session with me that is by application only. I only have a few slots available for those per month. And you can apply to get on the phone with me and we can take a deeper dive into your business idea or your current business, look at what you want and what might be stopping you from having what you want, so that you can determine the best actions for you and your business. So there's a lot of ways to get in contact.
That's great. And for our listeners, that will be posted at the end of the show, so you'll be able to see all of that as well. But the way that I always find Stephanie is trbe.org, because I think of tribe and I take out the I.
Yep. So yeah.
That just helps me. Well, you know, Stephanie, this has been really fun catching up with you again, and I know that this is a huge value to our listeners. One thing I'd like to ask you, if you don't have to share names or anything, but can you just give us an example of one really big breakthrough that a client had and that was maybe personally satisfying to you in leading them to that place?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I think one of the biggest things that my clients get across the board is an increase in confidence. You know, once they start to go out there, they realize they just see what they're capable of. And there's no greater joy to have someone really see their greatness. And sometimes for the very first time, I had one client that, you know, when we were still working on the why, which is one of the very first things that I work with. So this was in like the first couple of weeks of us working together. And I had her reach out to close friends and family and ask certain questions. And she came back to me and she's like, wow, so many people said that they saw me as a C-level executive, like that, you know, and she had been working a lot of freelance jobs for a very long time and had this business idea, but for the very first time, she saw how others viewed her, not as a temp, not as a freelancer, but as someone that is going to be a CEO of a major company or own a company. And, you know, there was just something that completely shifted in her where she finally owned her truth and her greatness. And it's those moments that are my favorite, when someone finally sees themselves the way I see them and the way others see them. And yeah, I would say that's one of my favorite moments.
Wow. That's worth getting up for in the morning, right?
Absolutely.
It's so funny how we perceive ourselves and what that self-perception is what we put out to the world. So
yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, Stephanie, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed catching up with you again. And all of you out there listening in Radio Land, that's our show for today. So I'd like to say thank you again to Stephanie Stadel, the Right Brain Entrepreneur, for being leading lady today. And a special thanks to all of our listeners. And just a reminder, we will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. And on March 23rd, our next leading lady will be Mimi Donaldson of Mimi Speaks. And our topic will be an answer to what do you do that captures your listeners' interest. Michelle Berquist will be interviewing Mimi and finding out what do you say when people ask you what do you do and how do you make that interesting. So it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. And thank you for listening. And remember, resilient women, here's a tip. Look where you're going and not where you've been. Thank you again, Stephanie. I've really enjoyed catching up with you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.
Anyone there? Do I stay on?
Stephanie?
Yes.
Hi, this is
Hello?
Quinn. You're welcome to jump off. I'm sorry we didn't go
okay.
over that with you.
Okay.
Thanks so
like,
much for being on the show and have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.